Okay. Since it's an official meeting with an agenda, I just now officially call this order to the Board of Supervisors. Welcome everyone, and thank you very much for turning out. The weather has not been cooperative with us for quite a while here, so to have us finally be able to be here is a feat in itself. I hope that everyone signed in at one of the tables before you came in here. If you did not pick them up, you can go back out in the hallway area, and there are printed copies of the resolutions that we'll consider tonight and the agenda. The agenda is on a blue sheet of paper, and then the resolutions that we're going to talk about are on a green sheet of paper, a white sheet of paper that has a yellow circle around the top, the heading part, and then a white piece of paper that does not have a colored circle around it. I hope that people on the speaker card, we ask that everyone who's going to get up and speak have completed a card and fill that out. Is there anyone who's going to complete a speaker card? No? Okay, great. And I see that one of the staff is coming up tonight to bring the speaker cards that have been completed. Everyone's going to get an opportunity to speak tonight that wants to speak. In the interest of fairness and the interest so that we can get a diversity of opinions presented, we're going to alternate, which is why we'd ask that everyone who completes the speaker cards say whether you are for a resolution or against or for, or make a comment that way so that we can make sure that we are trying to spread out the speakers evenly. And tonight's meeting is about the intersection of Iowa state laws dictating the conditions of placing concentrated animal feeding operations and the DNR resources and administrative procedures and the administrative rules regulating CAFOs and Story County's rights and responsibilities under local governing principles to assure sound and safe environmental, economical, and health standards acceptable to the county's residents and make sure that those are used when considering the siting of CAFOs. Originally, if those of you have been following all along, the first meeting that was set, we were also going to discuss the construction evaluation review, which is what needs to be passed by counties every year if they want to use the scoring system everyone calls the master matrix. That had to be done by January 31st, and given the weather not cooperating two times in a row, we ended up doing that at a regular meeting. So I just want everyone to be aware that what we're here to do tonight is to consider three resolutions that have been presented by the members of the Board of Supervisors. I'd like us to recognize that tonight will not be about the any particular project, and I'd like to make sure that everybody avoids looking at one particular proposal as far as a confinement operation goes. Tonight we're here to discuss what, if anything, Story County government should do about communicating with the state about the situation that we find ourselves in with people having very diverse opinions and very strong opinions about what to do about confinement and confined animal feeding operations or concentrated animal feeding operations. And finally, I'd like you to know that tonight's meeting would definitely not be happening without the cooperation of the City of Nevada, who three times has set up and made this facility available, Nevada Public Safety, who three times scheduled, and finally tonight you have some officers who are working here tonight to make sure that we've all got the assistance and security that we need, and the Story County staff, some of whom are here tonight, and I'd like you to raise your hand if you are a member of the Story County staff, so please, because three times okay? And I think a couple are out of the room. Three times, once again, people had to pull everything together. So thank you to all of you over and over again to make this meeting happen tonight. So with that, the first item on the agenda are items number 2 and number 3, and they address the same basic premise about, is it time for Story County to send a more formal statement to our legislators and the DNR asking about opening up the master matrix for review, and second of all, what should be contained in that statement. And from that point, since one has been introduced by Supervisor Linda Merkin, who is at my right, and the other introduced by Supervisor Rick Sanders to my left, what I'm going to do is give each of them 5 to 10 minutes to discuss their resolution, and then we're going to open it up for comments from the audience on this particular, these two items, and then the board will have a discussion and consideration of that. After we're done with that, we'll move on to item number 5, which is the third resolution. So, starting with the order that they were submitted to me, I guess, back in early January, I guess, I'm going to turn to Supervisor Murphy, and her resolution is 1964, white sheet of paper with the yellow circles at the top. Go ahead, Supervisor Murphy.
Thank you. And I'm very glad to see everybody here tonight. This is a very important issue. The first thing I would like to clarify is I've seen someplace or heard that somebody said, well, if the supervisors pass a resolution, does that mean there will not be any additional CAFOs started in Story County? The answer is no. And the answer is because of the way the Iowa statute is written. Basically, 331.304A limits on county legislation is in the county home rule section of the code. A county shall not adopt or enforce county legislation regulating condition or activity occurring on land used for the production, care, feeding, or housing of animals unless the regulation of the production, care, feeding, or housing of animals is expressly authorized by state law. So you start there. The county cannot pass any ordinances. Then you go on to 459.304, which is the construction permit application procedure, and establishes the master matrix. Basically, the construction evaluation resolution that Supervisor Olson spoke to says if the county every year by January 31st does pass a construction evaluation resolution, that means that we as the county can score the master matrix and make a recommendation to the Department of Natural Resources. Make a recommendation. That is what the county can do. The reason we passed that construction evaluation resolution, even though there's not a whole lot of teeth in that, is it does help us know what's going on in the county. It does, we do have some input. But if the master, if the applicant receives a passing score, which is 50% on the master matrix, then they're pretty much it, okay? There are also, in Iowa Administrative Code, Chapter 65, there's all the regulations about the master matrix. They're all here. But what it basically means is that we need to get the legislature and the governor to do something if we think that it's an inadequate system right now and that local government does not have enough say, because we have very, very little say. So what Resolution 19-64 does is it asks the governor and the Iowa State Legislature to address the failings of the current laws, rules, and procedures for permitting concentrated animal feeding operations and support for a moratorium. I will just say that there are some similarities between the resolution that I submitted and the resolution that Supervisor Sanders submitted. Exceptions would be that I believe the language is stronger, talks more directly about the failings of the master matrix. It is a flawed system. And also the last paragraph that calls for not just review, but also calls for a moratorium on establishing any additional CAFOs. There are 23 other counties in Iowa to date that have passed moratorium resolutions or resolutions calling for review. The vast majority of them do call for a moratorium on any additional CAFOs being permitted. It's about time that Story County joined those other counties in calling for review, calling for change, and calling for a moratorium. Thank you.
Yeah, so there's a reason that 1967 looks similar to 1964, and that is I took 1964 and tried to write it in a way that that we could all support and would not be disruptive to our community. The problem I have with 1964, a couple fold. One, it talks about inevitability. When things aren't inevitable, they might be likely. It talks about that our recommendation.
Could you check your mic, please?
Test. Yes.
Okay.
It talks about, well, so in the next to last whereas, it says making a recommendation to the Iowa Department of Natural Resources based solely on inadequate criteria. And that's not, I mean, as we prove, we make our recommendation based on multiple factors. I tend to make it based on what's found in the criteria of the master makers. But Supervisor Olson, you didn't in our last meeting, as is your right. And one of the major issues I have with 1964 is, well, we received an email today at about 4:30, a very nice woman who called for us to issue a moratorium in Story County so that there won't be any more confinements built. And as Supervisor Merkin rightly points out, that's not what this does. That's not what this is talking about. But it's not real clear. It is going to be portrayed, if we pass 1964, it is going to be portrayed accidentally and intentionally by some that Story County issued some kind of moratorium when, in fact, that's not what we did. So I took what was in 1964, and I tried to write something that I believe all three of us can support, that I believe carries more weight rather than less because it's not disruptive. So look, the reality is the Master Matrix Law was passed in 2003. Our technology, our practices, what we know is so far beyond 2003, and it is at some point in time, the state is going to reopen and relook at the law, and I'm a huge believer that just because something's hard doesn't mean you don't do it. I mean, so people on both sides of the issue right now, they seem to want all or nothing, and that's not a reason not to reopen a law. But calling for a moratorium that appears to put some force, and we'll get to this, I think, if we get to the final resolution tonight, but appears to put some force of government behind this idea of whether you're in the right or in the wrong in building one of these facilities, I think it's inappropriate, and it causes problems where we've already got enough problems without us weighing in. So there's a very good reason they look similar. I am fully supportive of I've been requesting to the state that we reopen this law and take a look at. It's supposed to be best practices in agriculture, and that's exactly what we ought to be moving toward. And I fully recognize that of the couple hundred people that we have in here, we've probably got at least dozens of different points of view in what should be done, but we should all be able to agree that it's time to talk about it and time to stop just automatically vilifying and using incendiary language when we try to talk about it, and that's what I've tried to do here.
Thank you both for getting right to the point. I have three sets of cards here, some clearly indicating that they're against the moratorium or questioning limits, some indicating they are for the moratorium. There I have five, that the person, I can't tell what they're doing, so we'll hold those off for a while. So I'm going to start here with, I think it says Harrison Furlow. Is Harrison Furlow still here? Have I said your name incorrectly?
You said it correctly.
Okay, thank you. Will you come up to the mic over here, please? And the next person will be Mike Wagner. Good evening, Harrison.
Good evening. Thank you for your time tonight. I think on the basis of principle here, I agree with you. Let's not use incendiary language. Let's not escalate this to a point of a he said, she said. But I think on the basis of mere principle, when we're talking about the idea of using a law or a moratorium or even a suggestion of a moratorium, it leads to a slippery slope. Again, not even getting into details, we would be regulating private citizens' abilities to farm in an already over-regulated industry.
Yeah. Asking. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Livestock producers are stringently regulated as is. It's hard to produce food. We affect affordability for other private citizens. So I find it frustrating that we would have the idea of a moratorium or even a discussion that would lead down this path of overregulating an already stringently regulated industry, which contributes to the livelihoods of this economy, to the economic success of this county, the livelihood of its citizens, and our overall wellness as Iowans. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Here's what I think I'm going to do. We've had now applause twice. Applause is very energetic. It certainly can get people worked up also. So to make sure that we're kind of moving along with a lot of courtesy, no comments under the breath, that type of thing, and let's try to keep the applause to the minimum. Just out of courtesy, it also means we can get home before the storm hits, all right? Okay. Thank you.
Supervisors and county officials and guests,
is it not on?
I'm Mike Wagner, 1217 K Avenue, up the block here. I fall on the side of the Merkin proposal for the having the master matrix reviewed, and also not the review, but excuse me, the moratorium full review. And I'm for the moratorium, not for the review. And the reason is I have a wife and family. We already smell the manure in the backwash a couple miles north here. The cattle comes down south from the northwest. We're going to hear, see the flow down through the park on our northwest, northeast park right here. And we also have grandchildren that are growing up in this community. And I own a house, by the way, did I tell you? Down the street, 1217 K Avenue. I have a right to make a living. So do farmers. Good for you, good for me. So what all, who's right, who's wrong? Let's all work together on this deal. We all deserve to make a living and have a good quality of life for us, our spouse, our kids, and our grandkids. So I vote for the moratorium. Let's look at it. 23 counties, that's almost 25% of the state looking at this. So we're not the only one with the deal that way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Supervisor Olson, can we just be clear that this is not a moratorium? I mean, even if we pass 1964, it is absolutely not a moratorium, and it's problematic that it's being represented as that.
May I read the last sentence of the resolution?
Yes.
That the Story County Board of Supervisors hereby ask the Governor of the State of Iowa and the State Legislature to impose a moratorium on new or expanding concentrated animal feeding operations. It's clear that we're asking the Governor and the Legislature for a moratorium.
Okay. So once again, then I'll make a statement too, then we'll all three have made it, that this document, whatever is or is not approved, but it is a request or a strongly worded statement, depending on how you feel about the wording, to the state, as both of them do contain language about opening up the current system to review and possible revision. One is a request for the state authorities to look at a moratorium. It has nothing of any kind of legal binding here in Story County. It is a statement that we would like to have this happen. So is that clear? Anybody still have a question about whether this moratorium has any binding effect in Story County? All right, thank you. Okay, so moving on back to the speakers, it looks like Howard Williams or Wilson?
Harvard,
Ryan. Oh, I'm sorry, Harvard. It's much better than my handwriting, though. So, and then also next up on deck would be Kim Stevens after Howard. Harvard.
Thanks again for giving me some time. I'll go ahead and make this quick. Like you said, get out of the storm's way. I had a list of different studies and stuff that said different values for amount of air quality and water quality. But the biggest one was Missouri Department of Health and Toxic Substance and Disease Registry. I think they conduct experiments in the past decade, measure different air levels in neighboring facility next to a hog facility that had permit for over 10,000 pigs. There's no increase in ammonia levels indoor or outdoor, and the study classified this line ammonia exposure as no apparent health hazard. In the resolution, it says potential illnesses with none being out, that wouldn't be a factor. And even though it's not saying there's a direct moratorium, even the possibility of one not only can affect the producers, but affect the contractors with the new facilities, along with the local equipment being purchased. So even the threat of moratorium can cause a lot of that effect, even if it doesn't go into effect right away. So I'll be able to make it quick in there. So
thank you very much. And then we are back, as I said, the Kip.
Hi, I'm Kim Stevens. It's 5207 Indian Creek Trail here in Nevada. I've been pretty active in stalking CAFOs here in Story County, so I don't think there are very many people in this room that are unaware of my position. I want to address a few of the previous comments that we've heard against the moratorium. I actually follow very libertarian principles, and one of the principles of libertarianism is the non-aggression principle. What this means is that you do not do harm to other people. And laws that are written are there to protect other people's rights. Now, we've heard about the producer's rights and people who are building their rights, the chilling effect that this will have on their businesses. But let's talk for a moment about the rights of the community members here in Nevada. Even once a permit is granted, houses in this community have already today, lost 10 to 25% of their value depending on how close they are to the CAFOs. And since much of the north of town is within 2 miles, most of those houses will have lost 10% of their value. Just because they now have to, anytime they sell their house, they have to disclose that there is a CAFO within 2 miles of their home. And that is going to deter other people from wanting to purchase their house, which is going to lower their home value, regardless of what the assessed value is. That is a violation of property rights, of the property rights of the people who live in this town. That is an act of aggression. So you can say, you can worry about just the producers, you can worry about just the builders, but there are people in this town who are going to be affected as well. You have health rights. We have a right to live in a clean community. And CAFOs have been shown again and again to violate this right. If a school is within 5 miles, which all three of the schools in this town are, incidence of asthma goes up. We can't sit here and pretend that rights aren't being violated. So I'm absolutely in favor of pushing for a state moratorium on CAFOs until we can make CAFO owners be better neighbors. And when they do that, then I gladly welcome them to my community. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Jason Greiner or Granger? Jason? Thank you. And Mark Harris.
will be after Jason. Hi.
Hello. Thank you for having us here and listening to this. I'm the apple farm producer, and I've got 5,000 hogs there to take care of, and they're right out the back door of my house, and you know I don't have any asthma or any other health problems from that. And I'm in there enjoying them every day. I'm also certified to apply to the ordinance, so we have to have all that stuff. So it's not that we're just out breaking rules or doing things that we shouldn't be doing. We're trying to apply the manure the best we can. Yes, there's going to be a smell with livestock. That's just kind of the way it is. We are an ag state, and that's kind of the way it goes in agriculture. We're doing what we can. We're always injecting the manure and trying to limit the smell and trying to limit any issues that we have with neighbors. And it's part of being a good neighbor, and that's what we do. We go out and talk to the owners that we're applying that manure to, if we're going to be around their house, and let them know what's going to happen. So we're doing what we can to try not to waste it. And there's going to be a little bit of dust that's out there, and it's just kind of the way it is in agriculture. And it's a short period that we haul spring and fall, and try not to cause too much troubles. But we're already under some strict rules with the matrix, and my buildings are all built following the master matrix. So it's possible to get them built and put that and make some changes on some of the stuff. But it's not hard to follow those rules that are the common sense rules. So I'm in favor of kind of leaving it the way it is, because it's an easy thing to follow. That it's not, there's no gray area, and it's either you pass or you don't. So I'm in favor of leaving it the way it is. Thank you.
Thank you. And after Mark will be Craig Matheson.
My name is Mark Harris. I live in Milford Township. I've lived there just over 28 years. I'm not a farmer. I bought this property with the idea of growing vegetables for the farmer's market, which I did for a few years. Unfortunately, 93 kind of wiped me out, and I only survived a couple more years after that. And now I work in Ames at the public library. And I'm standing here both in support of a review of the master matrix and revision, and for a moratorium, statewide moratorium on building more CAFOs until more science and reasoning can be applied to the confined animal feeding operations. We're at nearly 50 million pigs produced in the state, and we have impaired waterways, we have impaired wildlife, we have impaired recreational facilities, and I think it's time to stop where we are and review what needs to be done to make it safer, cleaner, profitable for the farmers, profitable for Iowa, and also a pleasant place to live.
After Craig will be Gina Holcomb.
Good evening. Of the two resolutions before you, I would go with the 1967, because I have difficulty with the word moratorium. I understand the wording says, you know, ask the governor of the state of Iowa and the legislative body, but the reality is, let's be honest, a vote by the Board of Supervisors will have the headline say moratorium. It will not say governor of the state of Iowa and legislative body, and then small words, moratorium. Moratorium will be the big word. And as a journalist, you understand that words sell the newspaper. Because of that, the idea of imposing a moratorium really brings up several questions. What's going to be the impact of even having a vote that says we would like the legislative body and the governor to make this decision to do something? But the Story County's Board of Supervisors have taken the decision that we're going to suggest that a moratorium be imposed. How does that affect those that are involved in the livestock industry in this county? Because that word is out there. And I look across the crowd here, I don't see all of the county represented in terms of total population. Everybody in here is going to know exactly what the resolution said. But it's still going to be moratorium that's reported out, and therefore we're going to have a different view. How is that going to be shared? I'm concerned about the tax base and how it's going to be interpreted. And that can be lots of discussion, but it is about a tax base and what we do. I'm concerned about how it will be applied in fairness down the road, because we have certain entities within our state that are under the land grant institution. Are they also going to be required to be part of that? There is a question, because if they're not, then you are discriminating against a large section of your tax-paying sector in this county, and that's a concern. That's the reason I am more in favor of the 1967 than the 64, because I see lots of related issues that could come before. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Gina and Ben, Mary Ann Ryan.
Hi.
Hello. I'm glad everybody turned out tonight. Everybody's great. I'm Gina Folsom from Cambridge, and I guess I would like to say a few things to what has been said already. I would support 1964, because I think that we as citizens have every single right to ask for a moratorium. I don't know why we're so afraid of that word. To the gentleman who talked about never getting asthma around his heart, I don't think that's true of everybody. I think there's a lot more asthma now than ever before, a lot more diseases than ever before. And I'm concerned about the waterways and what it's going to do to our waterways. I know that agriculture is probably the least regulated industry there is, and people chafe against any regulation that is there. And so I don't know that when they say they follow all the rules, that means a whole lot, because they don't like the rules. So I guess I would say I agree with some of the things Chris Jim said. We as citizens, who's going to protect the rights of the citizens? You know, those who lose 10% of their property value, who's going to stand up for them? Why should we feel that just the producers and the developers have a right to be listened to or to be taken seriously? You know, are these producers going to pay for that or make it up to these people? If they lose their property value, can't sell to anyone else? I don't know. I guess I'd like to say we do need a moratorium. We should look at the master matrix and do what we can to make improvements. And so I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Great. And next will be Jenna Platt.
Hello.
Hi.
By the way, thank you for having this evening. So I don't know if this worked for you here. My name is Mary Ann Ryan. I moved to Nevada 21 years ago. I love the state. If I won the lottery, I'd stay right here. And that's a big reason why I'm increasingly distressed at the direction I'm seeing CAPOs coming into, and the line's looking like this. They're going to keep coming. And I'm inclined to so facts are what appeals to me. I mean, you've heard, I'm sure, all the reasons for a moratorium about business and people's quality of life and property values. But I want to talk a little bit about the ramifications to people who are physically far removed. I'm worried about the waterways. Okay, so my field is environmental science. And I know that the amount of money that is being put into trying to clean up these waterways is really being misspent. We all know, and this is the DNR, this is the environmental community, we all know that human wastewater is 5 to 10%. You might find someone who might argue with me, but I've never seen it higher than that. So we're going to put, it's going to be billions of dollars into reducing the nutrients. This is happening right now. This is the things that are being required by cities. I'll tell you one city in Story County.
Okay, I'm going to probably give it about 3 more minutes.
Okay. In Story County, it's going to be about $10 million in the next 5 years to remove nutrients. That's the phosphorus, that's the nitrogen. Over the next 20, they're estimating about 40. That's one city. This is where we're putting our money, because there's such a stranglehold on Iowa that farming is like no other industry would be allowed to pollute like this. None. When I look at, and this is off the DNR website, when I look at over since 2013, somewhere between 25 and 51 manure releases. It's not counting the ones that get caught. It's not counting the waste being streams along your street. It's, this is all going in our waterways.
Okay.
We're putting our money in the wrong place.
Thank you very much. Okay, now Janet. And after Janet is Beth Wagner.
I guess I should add, we're all going to pay for that.
Okay. She added, we're all going to pay for that. And Beth Wagner next, and the con. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that. Okay. Next up then would be Casey Allison. Okay. All right. So, I'm sorry, Jennifer. Get on back to you.
Thank you. I have invented a new word for the situation I find myself in. And it is NIMFY. It's not in my backyard. It's not in my front yard. Because the proposed ones are right across, right across the old Fernald Road from where I grew up. So this is happening in my front yard. I got out my life book this morning and looked at little me, and little me swinging and sliding and chasing butterflies is right across the street where the current ones are evidently, you know, going to be built. But I grew up in Fernald, and first went to school in Fernald, and I'm watching the old Fernald road change.
And Janet, I'm sorry, I'm going to ask you about to get a little less specific.
Okay.
I know it's important to share your experience, but we want to stay away from any particular site.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's what I said. But the one big thing is that it was my front yard, but it's Nevada's front yard. And every town has a front yard. And the current matrix affects, you know, people's front yards, but the front yards of many towns and municipalities if we don't do something about the matrix. So, you know, I come from such an incredibly personal space on this, but the approach to Nevada is our front yard, and I want other towns and municipalities and other people and homesteads not to, to have some recourse or more recourse before they find themselves in the position that at least I am now, just wishing for a way to have had more say in what transpired here, and because I care about the future, what happens in other towns and municipalities, and whatever, I'm poor, whatever, lead us toward that end.
Okay, thanks. All right. Thank you. Thank you for that. Right. Now, Casey Allison, please. Pardon? Oh, no, but that's what I can alternate. Please come
yes,
up.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Casey Allison, and I'm a current staff member of the Iowa Cattlemen's Association, where we work diligently to grow Iowa's beef business through advocacy, education, and leadership. I must say that this issue hits especially close to home for me. My family has been farming in Story County for multiple generations, and we intend to continue that legacy for future generations. However, only about 30% of farms are passed down successfully from one generation to the next. One of the major challenges in doing this is creating an income for the next generation. Diversifying the farm through livestock is a responsible way to meet that challenge head on. But overregulation and obviously a moratorium on livestock farms would hinder young men and women like me from continuing the family farm. Think about the farmers you know today and the ones from previous eras. Many of those farmers raise crops and livestock. The land produces the crops, which in turn feeds the livestock. The livestock consume the feed we raise and return the nutrients back to the land via manure. It's a continuous cycle of growth and regeneration. Our vehicles look different than our grandparents drove in 1950. Vehicles today are still modes of transportation, but are more efficient and environmentally friendly. The same holds true for farms. They may look different, but when the crops and livestock are married together, the end result is a safe, sustainable system. As young farmers seek opportunities, thinking outside the box and utilizing new technologies is one consideration to carry the torch forward on our family farms. More specifically, livestock is a point of entry for beginning farmers. The opportunity for farmers to diversify by utilizing livestock farms is an important and needed tool. The Iowa Cattlemen's Association believes and supports the Master Matrix as a safe and fair system to approve or deny new livestock farms in Story County and more generally Iowa. In closing, I ask you to consider the impact a moratorium would have on young members of the ag industry like me and vote against the moratorium. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Now, Beth. Wait. And then up after Beth. Kelly Sheets.
Hello, my name is Beth Wagner. I live at 1217 K here in Nevada. With so many questions, and 24 of our Iowa counties forming coalitions that are concerned about this, and with so many different ideas about it and wonderings about it and strong emotions about it, why not? Why not take a few breaths and, as a state and as a county, slow it down a little bit? You know, we didn't slow it down when we had such great pain medication. You know, we just had the opioids are going, and now we slow it way down. Now we go, oh, now we're going to regulate it. Back up doctors. Or DDT, it was a great... was a great herbicide that, you know, really affected the environment. So, yeah, there are a lot of questions. There's been a lot of changes. It's very hard on the young farmers. They're trying to figure out how to make a living in the current situation that we have today. And they have to figure it out, and it is confusing, and it is stressful. And the world is changing really quickly. I'm here with my family. I have grandchildren living in town here. I live in town. I work with kids. I care about people. I'm just asking, just slow it down a little bit. If moratorium means slow it down and look at it a little bit longer and evaluate first stage. Why not?
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. After Kelly will be Wendy Schneider.
Kelly Sheets. I live southwest of town here in Nevada on an acreage located not too far from CAFO. In fact, within a mile. I do not have asthma, nor does any of my family. I want to commend everybody here this evening on the amount of passion you have, no matter what side you're on. I appreciate the passion, and passion is really what drives change. So I applaud everybody for being here and speaking out. Gina, since you were one of the facts, in fact, we did just list our property inside of a mile from a CAFO and did not have to disclose whether or not we live near a CAFO. That's false. So, and then on top of that, our property value actually went up almost 180% of what I bought my property for. I sold my house for $120,000 more dollars than what I bought it for. So I don't think that the CAFO necessarily affected my property value. I will continue to live in Story County. The property that we just bought is in Northeast Story County, and it is within 2 miles of a CAFO. I will continue to raise my family here and continue to be part of it as well. Although I'm not fortunate enough to have the funds to go ahead and build concentrated animal feeding unit myself. We do have a hobby farm. We are pork producers ourselves and live on the farm that we produce our pork, and it does not affect our health. In fact, it makes my life and my livelihood a lot more stable than any other to raise those. I'm in favor of opening or at least taking a look at the master matrix. It has been almost 16 years, I guess, since it was looked at. I do think, though, that as we step back and take a look, we're talking about the Department of Natural Resources, the organization that's put into place to protect our natural resources, their master matrix. And their master matrix has allowed these farms to be built because they passed the specifications on RNC gains those permits. So let's not try to do a job for somebody that is already doing their job appropriately. I'm in favor of reopening it. We will likely learn some new things from it, but I think that following the letter of the law the way it's written is the way that it needs to be. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Wendy, and then after is Jacob Hanscocker.
Most of my remarks about the absurd resolution.
Oh, okay.
This is why we're having to come back when.
Yes, we'll go ahead and do that. Thank you.
But in the meantime, okay. I'm in support of the moratorium because I believe that we have been requesting reviews for years and nothing has happened so far. So it's time to try something new and to join a bipartisan coalition of counties that have already accepted it.
Okay, thank you. All right, back to Jacob. The next person up is, I guess, Jody Spiro. I want to the group. We're not quite clear where they stand. Okay. Thank you. All right. Go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Jake Pansacker. I live in rural Radcliffe. So I live in the house that my great-grandfather built. My children are sleeping in the same bedrooms as their great-great-grandparents. I grew up there. My great-grandfather grew up there. My grandma grew up there. My dad grew up there. I grew up there. My kids are growing up there. I remember growing up and having a couple of my parents with the open lot hog confinement, walking through the slop, getting stuck in the manure pit as the manure ran off onto the open lot. Right now, so we've gone away from that because we realized that was not a sustainable opportunity to work with swine production and anything. So right now we've built the hog confinement in 1993. My dad operated it. Now that I live there, I operate it. It's 99 steps from my back door. Every morning about 5:30, I wake up, go out 99 steps to my back door, do my chores while my kids are inside sleeping. I come in, take my showers, eat breakfast with my kids, go to my other job. I farm as well with my brother, two brothers, two uncles, and a couple higher hands. We also run an excavating and tiling business. I've done a lot of work for guys around this area, and they're able to support. So these buildings that are being built, they're not only to support individuals and the people that are working the buildings, they're to support the people that build the buildings, the people that dig the pit, the people that spread the manure, the people that benefit from all the money that comes in the community. In 2015, there was $36.7 billion of value in sale of pork production, 141,813 jobs in pork production. So we're on the right path. I don't believe we need a moratorium. I support Rick's statute, and I believe that growing in the livestock industry allows these young farmers to come home to the point of being right across the road from a CAFO. That can't be the case because of setbacks and what it was signed off on. Maybe it was a home that was no longer there. The reason these homes are no longer there is because young people being forced off the farm by low profit. These buildings and buildings like them of any livestock opportunities bring young people back to the farm and keep our agricultural vibrant and out of the hands of corporate interests. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. So now, Jody.
Yeah, I'll be on the same side. So if you'd like to have an opposition about labor.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. So the next person up will be John Monroe. And then we'll have you.
Sure.
Okay.
Hi there. I'm John Monroe, 6285 Prairie Woods Drive in Nevada. So I think the problem here, right, that the resolution is trying to address is that we have a particular type of economic development that is mushrooming out of control in ways that we think the government should take a look at for the health of the overall economy of the county, right? So we talk about taxpayers, right, but it's all the taxpayers in the county, not just the ones that have the HUD incentives, which are by definition a minority of these taxpayers. So by favoring really a disproportionately small section of the population whose impact in terms of harm to everyone else is actually outsized, you're damaging the economic base of the county and really sort of foreclosing a bunch of other possible options for development because once the CAFO's there, it really limits a bunch of other things that can happen around it. So I'll just say that that's really something to think about, right? Is that there's an overall picture in the county, and I see the moratorium resolution is just saying to the governor, hey, look, we take this very seriously. We've protested the master matrix for a long time along the lines of Supervisor Sanders' resolution. We've never join those other counties to say, no, hey, actually, let's just stop. Let's think about what balance of development we actually want to have. And I will say that, one more thing that I feel like I should mention about this is I hear a lot of arguments in support of this CAFOs that stress that the farmers who are doing it are from good families. There's a lot of talk about this stuff. And, that's fine. I appreciate being from a good family. That's admirable. But last time I checked, we lived in a democracy, not an aristocracy. And assuming somebody's just going to be good because of the length of their pedigree in a particular place and the wealth of their family from that length of pedigree is an aristocratic logic. It's not a democratic logic. In America, we care about who you are as an individual, and an individual even more than that with equal rights, not about who your parents are or what your last name is. And in a lot of ways, this ignoring the interests of the majority for the interests of a minority whose ability to build these things comes from the length of time they have in this place, I think that's a problem. I think that's something we really have to think about in terms of the overall structure of how we want to go forward in the county. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Jody. And Brenda Brink, Brenda will be up next.
I'm Jody Sterley. I live just outside of Roland, 59096 130th Street. My husband and I have a small acreage. With sheep on it, we live within half of a mile of a turkey capo. So a lot of it's been talked about hogs, but we're talking about other species as well, and I appreciate Casey's comments to the beef industry as well. So we live within a half a mile of a capo, and I'll also reiterate what Mr. Sheep said. Our value of our property is now listed at 125% of what we bought it for 8 years ago when we moved to Iowa, within half of a mile of a turkey barn. Americans are blessed and enjoy the safest, most wholesome food supply in the world. In fact, we only spend 10% of our disposable income on food, and I'm not sure where you think that food comes from, but it comes from here. We are also the country with the most secure food supply, which also adds to our not only our economic stability, but food safety, et cetera. By the way, food production, all of food production, is the second highest, most regulated industry in the United States after nuclear energy. So I am also a scientist, and so you can look that up. Americans spend, as I mentioned, less than 10% of their disposable income on food, so we're very blessed to have choices. And those choices afford us responsibility. Iowa livestock farmers, under those regulations, are responsible, and if they're not responsible, they're held to the letter of the law. We moved pigs, poultry, turkeys and broilers and layers inside in the 1970s to protect them. I'm sure you wouldn't want a bunch of chickens outside tonight or pigs farrowing in the snowbanks over this next week. When we did that, we also contained the manure. That manure is a valuable resource. It's natural fertilizer that our crop farmers do not need to buy artificial or man-made fertilizer to put on the land. So that sustainability circle that Ms. Ellison talked about between crops, animals, and manure is alive and well. We live on our farm as well. My husband and my two sons and I breathe the same air, and we drink the same water as you do. And we believe that it is safe and that we abide by the regulations and the letter of the law. That being said, while I believe that I ask a veterinarian for his professional advice on how to treat my animals and keep them healthy, I go to a doctor to make sure that me and my family are healthy. I also believe that the expertise of the Department of Natural Resources, using science, education, and technology, is responsible enough to make the laws for this state. That being said, science moves fast. I'm a scientist. I love science and data. I'm actually an animal scientist, and so I believe that revisiting and learning from science, adding more data to the mix, is always a good idea, and I would support revisiting that law. And that resolution, I'm absolutely against any type of mention of moratorium. Thank you.
Okay. Brenda, and after Brenda would be Claire Johnson or Jolson.
I want to thank you for having this meeting because I know it was over and over again and very frustrating. And what are we going to do with Mother Nature? I'm Brenda Brink. I live near Huxley, 29514 U.S. Highway 69. And I want to just say to everyone here, thank you for coming, because this is what we need to do with an issue like this. So I want to thank everyone for being here. I am totally in favor of a moratorium, as was brought forward by Supervisor Merkin. We've been working on trying to figure out how in the world we can keep Iowa attractive and Iowa growing, and the communities and the cities of Iowa healthy and our people healthy. And the only way to do that is to stop and stem the tide. If you just want to look at maps of how many capos have moved in to the state, all you have to see is that Hardin County, north of here, is completely covered. And when we talk about taxes, guess what? They just had to do something about their county taxes, because after all, there are so many tax breaks given for capos that now they can't maintain their roads. And anyone who's lived beside roads knows that if you don't, if you have these big trucks going all the time, not only is it a hazard to the people living there, but it's also not helping the tax base because they don't have to pay for licenses. So the tax base, to me, is just another reason. I just think besides the tax base, besides keeping Iowa attractive to, again, many different kinds of economies, we need to move ahead, not just stay stuck. We don't need a status quo. We need to move ahead. But we need to look at the health. So if we talk about science, the DNR doesn't make laws. I'm not sure why someone presented that as the DNR making laws or having technology. They have the kind of technology they might have. But legislators make laws, and we need to send a strong message to legislators that it's time that we want health and people put first. Just because I don't have asthma, that doesn't mean anything. When we look at scientific reports, the evidence is clear. The toxic gases coming off of CAFOs with the manure pits, it's just a toxic stew. And the evidence is clear. The rates of asthma go up. The evidence is clear that we need to look at how it affects our water quality, not just the air. We don't have options for air and water. We all deserve clean air and clean water. We need to put a moratorium down, and it's a moratorium resolution, just like 24 other counties have done. That's our statement that says we care about people. I'm also in favor of strengthening the master matrix, because right now, as we've just seen from several CAFOs coming through this county, that it doesn't matter that you've lived in a place all your life. You don't have anything to say about someone coming. As a city, you don't have anything to say about it. So we need to strengthen the master matrix as well. It's not doing anything for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So, Claire? There you are. Okay. And then next up would be Jessica Pierce.
Hello. I didn't really plan on speaking when I came here today, but I was hearing some misinformation and felt compelled to come and say a few words. So I'm going to go for Claire.
Oh, I'm sorry. I really butchered the
name. Yeah, you did.
I am sorry.
S-O-L-S-O-N. But I have a few words. I grew up on a farm in Northwest Iowa, and I am a student at Iowa State. So I did grow up by a lot of animal plants, and I don't know about you, but I look pretty, I think, healthy. And the roads, that was interesting, because our roads are just fine up there, up north. And I think it would be a disservice if I stay quiet and just at least say some things. I am not in favor of this moratorium. I think it is setting a very wrong precedent. This Story County is the home to what I think is the greatest ag college in America, and it's just a slippery slope from there. So I'm not in favor of this. I don't think anyone with any ag background could be in favor of this. So please vote no.
Thank you, Jessica. And then Jackson Sterling.
Jessica Pierce. I live at 4915 Schubert Street, Ames, Iowa. You all have seen before, I brought a picture last time of me on my grandfather's farm, so it's nice to hear all these stories about people still wanting to continue to farm in the area. But the reality is that Story County, I believe, is the seventh largest population.
It might be sixth.
It might be sixth now. And as Rick was fond of saying, story grows. And unfortunately, with the way we're growing, it looks like CAFOs are not something that's going to be in the mix for long if we're going to continue with the industries that we're expanding right now. Burke, for example, am I saying that right?
Correct.
Is bringing in all these jobs, but they rely on clean air and clean water in addition to the pork that they manufacture. Because regardless of whether you all keep producing pork, if they don't have clean water and clean air, they will not continue manufacturing pepperoni and all these other delicious pizza toppings. Because believe me, this has nothing to do about how much I enjoy bacon. I'll eat any of you under the table. But my issue here is that the master matrix is clearly outdated. It's a take-home test that you can pay a tutor to take for you. I got a 12-year-old, and if I explained that process to him, he'd be like, where do I sign up for these quizzes? Are all of them going to be this way? No, no, none of them should be this way. And as far as the resolution, I do appreciate that. I know that you've worked on this issue in the past quite a bit, but I don't see you making a lot of leeway. And I think it's time to put your foot down and ask for a little bit more. And frankly, if the industry can't survive while allowing everyone else to survive, then that's not on me.
Thank you. So, Jackson, there you are. Okay. And then up next would be Mark Smith.
My name is Jackson Surley. I live in Roland, and now I know at least 50% of you will say I shouldn't be up here because I am too young. I am too uneducated. Well, I have been raising pigs since I was 2 years old. I know livestock. I work with sheep and cattle. I love livestock. There is a capo near our property. I hope to work on it one day. I hope to own my own one day. However, since he has such strict regulations about workers and biosecurity, I cannot work on it. Now, these capos are supposed to supply, We, as a world, are supposed to supply 20 billion people by 2050. Now, farmers have already produced more pound of pork or more bushels of corn per acre, anything, more efficiently than we have ever done before. We have also done a lot more to give back to the community. You talk about taxes and stuff like that. Well, one of the biggest things are the man who owns the capo near us does is he supplies our schools with education money for anything they need. You cannot say farmers do not care about the community. After all, we are raising our families up in our communities as well. And I'm here talking today because this is my future. This is Iowa's future. And I don't think anyone who, I don't want to be represented by anyone who doesn't understand what I want for my future. Thank you.
Good evening, I'm Mark Smith. I am a resident of Nevada, outside of town here. And a lot has already been said, so I don't want to rehash a number of points that have already been made, but I'll tell you a few things that everyone can ponder. So I have had the benefit of living in multiple areas of the state, and from the northwest part of the state. I had to move down here because our farm couldn't support me up there anymore, and the area couldn't either. You know, we all know how bad the 80s were, and the livestock went away in a lot of places, and a lot of people went away, and I fell victim to that. Fortunately, I landed here in a very nice community and found good work. But through that, I observed what's occurred over the last 15 years or so in relationship to livestock production, land values. And I have been fortunate enough to re-enter the farm up there, and I do have a couple operations that involve some turkeys and have been through the process putting up a location. It is very difficult to site a location. There are many regulations you have to follow. But one thing I want to point out, that in 2004, the land values in Northwest Iowa and Central Iowa were comparable. $3,100 an acre in Northwest and $3,100 in this area as well. This area has a little better ground. Northwest Iowa, the basis is a little higher, so you don't get quite as much money for your crop. But since that time, the price of land in that part of the state's gone up about 200%. Price of land around here about 150%. So why would that be? Northwest Iowa's at a disadvantage to Central Iowa as far as producing crops. Well, the difference is livestock. Livestock's come back to that part of the state. It's allowed people to continue to farm and the younger farmers to come in. So if you take that $1,400 an acre difference value between land in Northwest Iowa now and Story County, it equals somewhere between $300 to $400 million of change value that has put Story County at a disadvantage. So I don't have that number exactly because I don't know the exact number of tillable acres in Story County, but it's somewhere between $300 and $400 million. Well, that's equity that is no longer, that does not exist for the people of Story County. That's tax base that does not exist for Story County. That number doesn't include the value of the buildings, the value of the livestock, the jobs producing the livestock. It doesn't deter under everybody's feet. So, something to consider. Also,
Mark, you have about a minute left.
Only a minute? Well, I'll keep going here quick. Okay. The fertilizer, over time, we're going to find that soil health is much more important to the environment. It has been neglected. We all know that. We want to do things about it. Manure is going to be a key part of solving that problem. It brings microbiology into the soil. It costs 50 cents on the dollar to commercial fertilizer. It's a big part of it. Livestock is the only option for young farmers. Being a corn farmer is not going to work for the young farmers. They have to be in livestock. People want consistent, low-cost, high-quality food. Think of your cell phone, think of your car, where do you want that produced for consistent, low cost, and quality? In a factory. And it's taken longer, but factories are where the best work gets done and the safest work for the people. And third, I know a lot of people are concerned about this or for it. Most of the time I have found in my experience that the concerns are not as great once the building's up and the neighbors have time to get back together and see the true impact. Thank you.
And I apologize. I read the X by the pro there. I didn't see that he'd written livestock behind. So now we're going to take two who indicate that they're interested for local control or moratorium or whatever. So, and the next one is Ted Rasmussen, followed by Jay Stevens.
Hello, my name is Ted Rasmussen. I'm on a family century farm with my wife east of Colo, and I am a recently elected Story County official. I'm the new county treasurer. I know Laura said no applause, but there are a lot of people around the edge of this room that has put in a lot of work to give us all a chance to come out here and voice our opinion. So could we give them one quick round of applause? Could we do that? And now that I'm done pushing the behind of my new coworkers, the ultimate issue that I'm up here to discuss is local control. With drainage issues, that's a huge issue for farmers that they have to face. 100 years ago, drainage issues were kind of the big debated, maybe not quite the CAFO of their day, but it was a huge issue that was debated. So we came up with a way to have local control over drainage issues. We have local control over if we get a housing development out in rural areas, a housing development of 10 to 12 houses. That has local control. Those 10 to 12 houses have a big impact on our environment, on what happens. So we have local control on that. With these CAFOs, the massive ones, they produce as much waste as the city of Nevada. We're putting the amount of waste in the city of Nevada in a one small concentrated 2 to 3 acre area, and we're getting no local control over that. So that is my problem with the Master Matrix. As a current member of local government, We need local control over these things because we're the people on the ground. That's why they let us handle water disputes years ago. We're the people closest to the situation. So in terms of resolution, I will not advise you guys on which one to vote for, but whatever gives the state legislature and the governor the clearest message that we have to have more local control on the way these things happen and how the application works is what I am advocating for. And as someone who has recently tried to buy farmland, one, I hope that our farmland doesn't go up another $4,000 or $5,000, at least not until after I buy it. And two, we've talked about it before. We have smart growth here in Story County. We want to have all kinds of growth here in Story County. We may not have seen the land price go up with the way they have in Northwest Iowa, but I also doubt that Northwest Iowa has seen the other economic growth that we have here in Story County with the research park in Ames, with Burke adding jobs, with a lot of the communities growing individually. There are lots of ways to grow, and farmland value isn't the only way to grow. We can grow a lot of ways here in Story County. So thank you guys. Thanks again for having this, and good luck to you.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you. Okay. So now James Stevens. Okay, James. Yeah. And then Katie Arndt.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll keep this short. My perspective is of a Nevada resident. I live at 65207 Indian Creek Trail, southeast of Nevada. That is where I grew up. I grew up raising pigs because that's how my dad basically paid me the 90 acres that I now live on every term from a 20-year career in the Air Force. And I know pigs much better than I ever want to. I've shoveled more manure, if we don't call it that, than I ever want to see in my life. I showed pigs through 4-H for 8 years. I understand that. So, and I've always supported that. I never really was concerned about capos until I came back, settled here, had kids down, and of course this recent application for Korean Story County really brought it to my attention. I started digging in, looking at the facts that one pig produces so much waste as 10 people. So that's, you know, 5,000 capo is really equivalent to 50.
Okay. I know it's hard, but let's try not go with a site specific.
All right. It concerns me. What really concerns me and upsets me is that you don't have the power to say no when you previously did. Local control needs to be here. I see a bunch of special interests who wrested that away from you. And that upsets me, and that's why I support the moratorium. More than that, that master matrix is weak. It is, and I don't think a request for it to be looked at is really going to be taken seriously. I think in politics, usually you ask for something, you know you're not going to get the compromise halfway. I think asking for a moratorium is going to get you a serious look at the master matrix. So that's why I support the moratorium.
Thank you. Katie? And Katie, just to let you know, I was not certain what you meant before the first one you filled out, so you were one of the I'm not so sure of five. Okay, thank you.
Good evening. Thank you everybody for being here. So I live currently in Ames, but I'm actually not originally from Iowa. I'm from Illinois, and people ask me what made me come to Iowa. Iowa drew me, led me to pursuing my education at Iowa State University, the arguably the best land-grant university in the country, and actually in the top 12, or 12th in the world. Iowa State is also home of one of the top animal science programs in the United States and also in the world. Approximately 29% of College of Agriculture and Life Science students at Iowa State University are non-residents. Somebody was talking earlier about the TAF space. Iowa gets a lot of attraction and a lot of support, not even from within the state, but out of the state and globally for agriculture. Within the animal science department alone, almost 40% of students are out-of-state students, and they come to Iowa because they are looking to learn about animal agriculture and agriculture as a whole. We are paying a significant amount of money to get that education, and we're willing to do that pretty openly because obviously we're here, we decided to take the risk, and we want to be here in Iowa. By having this idea of wanting to stop farmers is going to draw away from not only the local economy, but also the state's economy here in Iowa. Additionally, for instance, we have graduate students in the Department of Animal Science performing groundbreaking research here in Story County already. Do we really want to stop that? We are already trying to reduce our environmental impact, and we have, for instance, one of the best, actually it was named number one, the best agricultural engineering and biosystems engineering departments in the world here at Iowa State. They're here to help you, help us make sure that we are keeping our environment safe, keeping our waterways clean, with concern also to air quality. They are all here on board trying to make sure that everybody gets that safe environment that they want. This is why I am would be against, if I was an Iowa resident, I would be against a moratorium because farming is the livelihood of Iowa and it is what puts Iowa on the map.
Thank you. So next on the list is Susie Pedra. And then I'm guessing Alexis Stein would be, I think, against the moratorium. Okay, go ahead, Susie.
Susie Pedra, Ames, Iowa. I urge the supervisors to support Resolution 1964. The current master matrix was passed 16 years ago, and as Supervisor Rick said, a lot has changed. Yes, much has changed, and a lot of it not for the good. As documented, if you've ever seen a map of Iowa with 13,000 dots all over it, indicating all the CAFOs that we have, Iowa also has 724 impaired waters. We are 49th out of 50 states in polluted water. We have mushrooming CAFOs, numbers of CAFOs. We have the polluted water. We have toxic particulates in the air that are damaging health. So this is a request simply to sign a moratorium for the legislature and the governor. And a moratorium, everyone, is a pause. It isn't stopping farming. It isn't stopping people from buying more land. It is stopping the number of CAFOs until we can clean up our water. It is just a pause. So I urge the supervisors to support 19-64, that moratorium resolution for the legislature and the governor, and join the 24 other counties who are as concerned about their water, et cetera, as we are.
Thank you. Alexis, and then next up would be Joe Reuter or Reuter? Okay, thank you.
Good evening.
Hi.
My name is Alexis Stein, and I am the daughter of a fourth-generation farmer, so that makes me a fifth-generation and proud to be one. I recently also have the honor of serving as the 2019 Miss Story County Agriculture, holding that title for the upcoming December pageant. And I say this because I want to reiterate my passion. I've lived on a farm for my whole life. My parents have a picture of me at 6 months old, touching my first pig, and ever since then, it has grown and blossomed. I am currently a sophomore studying animal science at Iowa State University, and there it has opened up the door to many opportunities, including the opportunity to speak here tonight. I am against the current proposals because I believe a growth of farming and education in that industry is important for not only our community, our industry, but also our people. To understand and better know the animals and the people behind these animals is important for the economy and everyone around it. If agriculture was to be put on hold, how would we as a community and industry or as people grow?
Thank you. Good luck. Okay. So, Joe, come on up. I think Mike called Kelsey. Okay, Mike. Okay, hi, Mike. All right, great. Okay. And then you'll be you next.
Good evening. My name is Joe Reuter.
and I live currently in Ames, 2025 Duff Avenue. Actually, I come from a farm family. I love animals. But I ran into some real problems when my brother and I, myself, inherited a family farm. I thought, boy, it'd be fun to raise pigs again. I remember those animals. We had cows, we had milk cows, beef cattle. We had pigs, we had chickens. But they were not raised in confinement facilities. And I learned to love animals. I just love animals, like this young lady was talking about. But there's something wrong here, and we're going to have to stop and look at what we're doing. Because I thought, well, wouldn't it be fun to maybe look into one of these capos and raise pigs? And I was totally discouraged, and I mentioned that before. I ran into the safety issue. I don't want my pretty little six-year-old granddaughter going into one of these facilities and the thing exploding and giving her scars for life. So they're out, but I still love animals. The best thing I found is something like the Neiman Ranch. Basically, it's free-ranging, and you don't crowd the animals into a facility. You don't have to worry about poisonous gases or pollution, but it's a lot smaller, of course, but you have quality pork. Now, there's another thing, too, that I'm really concerned about, because people are talking about using hog manure, nitrogen in the ground, and, of course, it would reduce fertilizer. Hog manure is excellent fertilizer, even free-ranging stuff, I can tell you that. But we currently, on our farm, it's in Boone County. We have put in cover crops and a bioreactor. And I'm afraid that these guys who are plowing in the hog manure are just working against what I'm doing. And I object to that. I'm trying to restore the farm to its past glory. But the capo thing, I think, would destroy it totally. So I'm totally against the current system. And we just need to stop, take a look at what we're doing, look at all the economic factors. Yes, people need to have an income, but we're going to have that we'll be able to live in this environment when we finish. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mike, you're welcome. And then next will be Amanda Rasmussen.
Okay, my name is Mike Kelson, and I live down by Huxley. Been in Story County my whole life, fifth generation on a livestock farm. I've grown up with it, studied it, and I guess it really, really deeply hurts my feelings sitting back in the back of this crowd when farming the right way, and we've got a track record. I'm proud of that. Our farm's an open book. Anybody's welcome. We've had visitors from other countries. We supported Iowa State. My grandfather has been instrumental in the cattle industry, along with the community. We've got a park named after us. And if you'd say family doesn't matter, boy, you're hitting a nerve, buddy. And you know what? When you do something right, you try to replicate it. And I think that we've pretty much done that our whole life. Can I say that all livestock operations are perfect? No, I cannot. And there is problems, and there's going to be problems today and tomorrow. But to penalize and to stop something that Iowa stands for from the earliest beginnings of a state, the way I understand it, I don't think we're trying very hard to encourage young people to come back. With all the challenges we have economically and otherwise, I think we need to take a hard look at how we approach this and move ahead. And if you don't think that any of the producers out there care about the environment, you're dead wrong, because we live in it too. Why would we be foolish and fooled not to? Now, there has to be regulations, I understand that, and there has to be procedures to follow. But I think we need to tread very carefully on how we proceed with these matters, and we don't want to discourage something that we can all be proud of in the state. I mean, Iowa's synonymous with agriculture. I mean, that goes way back to the state fair. We got a damn good state fair. We should all be proud of that. There's been a lot of effort put into that. And I just feel really concerned here. You know, I don't understand why it's got to this point. I know a lot of good operators. I guess I'd just like to see a show of hands. Has anybody had a positive experience with livestock agriculture? I sure as hell have. And I understand it's not perfect, and I understand there's challenges, but to be under the attack, I guess that's kind of how it feels, you know, from my standpoint, sitting in the back of the room. I feel, I don't know how to describe it other than like we're letting a few bad examples dictate the whole feeling in the group here. I think the majority is something we can all be proud of, and it's gone the right way, not the wrong way. Yeah, there's some problems, and there will be, but I think we want to encourage agriculture, not discourage.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Okay, Amanda. And then after Amanda, I'm thinking Ben Drescher.
Okay, and then we would be after Amanda. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Amanda Rasmussen. I live East Dakota on a family farm with my husband and daughter. She is the seventh generation to grow up in that home. In fact, we intend to take over one of the family farm operations probably when my husband's father retires someday. Again, we've got two century farms in our family, so we also come from a long line of agricultural families. We currently live down the road from a cattle case home, and I can tell you that no one has ever called me to tell me that they were going to spread manure around our home. So the courtesies, if you do that to your neighbors, that's awesome. I can tell you I've never had that same courtesy bestowed upon our family or our parents. When they haul manure, it leaves a packed crust on the road for a week. I drive across that every day. I bring that stuff into my home. And the smell is just foul. I mean, I live down the road from this CAFO, and it's bad. I just, regardless of your profession or your politics, the quality of the food that we eat, our health, and the environment that we live in should be a priority for everyone. I support farmers, and I also support the community impacted by these facilities. That's why I'm asking everyone here to take a look around and see what we can do to continue this discussion. We are smart, capable people, and I think we can do better. Lots of people have made mention of Iowa State University being close by, being this wonderful school of technology. We can do better. They can do better. And that's why I'm asking you to support the moratorium until the master matrix can be updated.
Thank you. All right. Ben? And after Ben would be Gene Watts.
Well, thank you, Madam Mr. Supervisors, for opening up this dialogue. I definitely agree with you. The master matrix is something that needs to be discussed in the state. However, the word moratorium, I work with a lot of young students, and the GTS is the new thing they taught me, is Google that stuff. First three words I saw were ban, embargo, and prohibit. I don't think we need to ban, embargo, or prohibit any livestock growing in the state. Placing restrictions on us definitely is counterproductive to the problems. It's not allowing science and technology to grow and evolve as producers. They do a lot of good things to change, to better themselves, and certainly better their operations. Forgot to say, I live in town. I live at 209 Ashton Street in Gilbert, so I'm a townie. Grew up on a farm, actually immigrated into Iowa because I like agriculture. Found wife, Iowa farm girl, she's involved in agriculture too. I look up and down my street, the 24 houses on our street, 16 of us are either directly or indirectly involved in animal agriculture. So it's definitely an important topic to this county and the state. But I think you need to allow stopping a moratorium, putting that on them, would not allow the technologies to be developed or to grow, and it's certainly counterproductive. The last thing I want to talk about, certainly appreciate all the young voices we've heard tonight. I had to go to the barber today. I've had four people tell me this week I have gray hair, so I had to get those cut off. So I'm getting older, evidently. But certainly a flood of the young people. I think about growing my family, go to church. I've got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, and I got to take them out. They get loud. They stand up. They holler. A lot of people still step back and say, boy, we appreciate your kids being here, because a quiet church is a dying church. And I don't want to see that happen to her alive.
Okay. Thank you. And, Jean, after Jean, I believe Tim Hadley.
Hi, I'm Jean Watt. I live at 1708 7th Street, Nevada. My family, we moved here about 5 years ago from Illinois. My husband and I are both Midwestern kids, born and raised. My husband grew up in southern Illinois, so both of us were surrounded by agriculture. We're pro-farmers, pro-agriculture. However, I think supporting the moratorium is a smart thing to do. When you have growth, you need to do it in a smart way. You need to do it in a way that allows everyone to coexist. And I think utilizing Iowa State is a great opportunity for us to improve this area of agriculture. I mean, when you look at a map of our state and how many CAFOs are here, I think it kind of stands to reason that we need to have some local control and say into where these are built, how they are managed, the impact that they will have on the communities that are close to these CAFOs. Because right now, from what I have heard in, during this process here in Nevada, is that the local city doesn't have control, the supervisors have very little control, it's kind of down to a state level, and I think that is a big misstep in this whole situation of why are we letting legislatures in Des Moines decide things that happen here in Story County, when it's going to be the cities and the counties who are going to be on the hook to fix things if things go wrong. And I question strengthening the matrix where right now a score of 50% is passing, but as everyone who went through school, that is failing in real life. So I think that taking a step back and reevaluating how these are going in, how they are being scored, and how they are being enforced really needs to happen. This is a great state. We chose to move here. My husband is in the biodiesel, and he's an engineer for them. We need agriculture for my husband to have a job and provide for us. However, things need to be done correctly and safely for everyone. And we do. We support our local farmers. We buy our meat from local farmers. So it's not that we don't support them, but things need to happen in a way that everyone is safe and everyone has a say in things. Thank you.
Thank you, Gene.
Tim Hadley, 1317 8th Street here in Nevada, soon to be landowner of Milford Township. Board of Supervisors, members of the audience, I stand here tonight as a fifth generation family farm representative. A newcomer to holding the reins of a family farm with the death of my father in August of last year. My three sons will make up the sixth generation, and I have cousins that are currently raising the seventh generation. That's pretty phenomenal. While we do not have livestock at this time, we've had livestock in the past, and I certainly would not rule out diversifying into the field once again. Tonight I see that in jeopardy, along with numerous future family farms like ours. The idea of requesting a moratorium against livestock production in Iowa is one that can have catastrophic magnitude. The state of Iowa is built on agriculture, as is Story County. A moratorium would mean a huge setback to a farming industry that is already under fire from numerous angles. I would just like to remind you that as supervisors for Story County, you represent the county as a whole, rural and cities. If these are the kind of things that are going to come to the table and embrace the kinds of ideas as radicals of groups like ICCI do, you very well may be a one-hit wonder.
Okay, and I want to, we've been so civil to this point. It's unfortunate now that the state focused on whether you support the moratorium, you support contacting the state.
I support Supervisor Sanders' resolution. I do not like the idea of requesting a moratorium. I just do not believe that the majority of this county that is on the rural side of things wants their livestock turned into laughing stock. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. All right. So next up would be Elizabeth Beckman. Okay. All right. Great. I got a couple more on the other side then, Elizabeth. All right. So Deb Bunka.
Hi, my name is Deborah Bunka. I'm a 23-year resident of Ames, Iowa. And the first point I'd like to make is that just because you support the moratorium does not make you anti-agriculture. I work for the state's oldest agricultural organization with members in every county, and I spent today up at the Capitol lobbying. It was our Farm and Food Lobby Day. Every year, our members vote to give us four priorities, policy priorities. One of those happens to be that we support a moratorium. Now, those are voted on by the farmer members. They come to a convention and vote on it. They are hardly anti-agriculture. I'd just like to touch on some other points, and I would also say on Thursday, there will also be many farmers at the Capitol as part of a 30-group coalition, of which my organization is part of that, and it will be the moratorium lobby day at the Capitol. You're free to join us if you like. I just want to say, they're talking about dollars that will be lost if there's a moratorium, but what about all the other dollars that are lost that nobody talks about, like recreation dollars? With over 700 impaired waterways as designated by the DNR, we are losing recreation dollars from fishermen, from people that want to go on holiday to go to a lake. They can't go in the water. We have a record number of beach closures. I mean, we're losing a lot of money there. And there's other ways. Somebody talked about a good cheap supply of food. Well, cheap pork ain't cheap. It costs us in so many ways. With the infrastructure damage caused by heavy trucks on the road all the time, with the environmental degradation that takes place, that costs us money. That is taxpayer money. People that own tables, if they have a pit in the bottom, they get a tax break. They get other benefits that are not allowed to family farmers that don't have a CAFO. In fact, it turns out that family farmers and others end up subsidizing an industry that they do not agree with, and that's wrong. We're in a clean water crisis. We are 49th out of 50, and we are only surpassed in polluted waterways by Mississippi, to whom we are sending dirty water. We have 13,000 plus tables of varying sizes for factory farms. The DNR, in a report last year or year before called AFO, they said they think the saturation point of Iowa is 45,000. So if you think we're in trouble now, we've got a long way to go. I can't even imagine the devastation. As to the overregulation of agriculture, it is among the least regulated professions. The idea that complying with the master matrix is adhering to strict regulations is laughable. Anything that is a 50% passing rate and you get to pick and choose the answers, the questions you want to answer, that's not regulation.
Give you another minute.
Yeah, okay. I know I support the moratorium, and if you read our coalition group that has been going around soliciting, talking with county supervisors, the moratorium that we put forth at the state level is that it will be a moratorium until we are under 100 impaired waterways. So there is an end to it. We need time to repair. I also support the redoing of the master matrix. I know many of the people that were on who put it together initially, and I lobbied with them for this moratorium. And it's just become, it's been gained. Just a second, I'm going to turn my page here.
Okay.
Am I done? Okay. The master matrix only has 2% of the approval for CAFOs in the state. Only 2% of applications have not been approved. That ought to tell you something right there.
Thank you. Okay, now Elizabeth. Go over this side. And the next speaker then will be Margaret James, who I still have a card. Okay.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Elizabeth Beckman. Right now I'm a junior studying animal science at Iowa State University. And let me tell you, I love my industry. I kind of grew up in a unique situation, if you will. I grew up in a very small farming community. We always had driver tractor school day every semester. Everyone always competed to see who could get there first, because 9 times out of 10, you had to wake up at 3 in the morning to get there on time. In my hometown, about 3 miles to the north of us, we have a 3,000-head swine facility, and to the east, we have a turkey facility. We also have numerous cow-calf operations outside of our town, just not even a mile. And I have to tell you, the only person I know in my hometown that had asthma moved there afterwards. So afterwards, she never had an outbreak. She is one of my very good friends, and as far as I know, she still has never had an outbreak. On top of that, when I was growing up, I also grew up with my own little calf. She was great. And after that, I also started working at the swine facility outside my town. That swine facility, while it may be a CAFO, is also family run. I've gone to school with these people. These people are basically my parents, my grandparents. And I've never known them to try and force anything on the people of their community, because once again, I came from a very small town where everybody knows everybody. Also, right now, while I'm studying at Iowa State University, I'm working at the dairy farm. And that is where my hands are blue, because I came to work early. At Iowa State, we do extensive research to try and find ways to make animal agriculture better. We also try and find ways to make sure that our animals are treated in the best way possible. We try very hard to make sure that things go the way they have to. If we were to do this, I believe that even though it would be just for a cause, technology moves very, very fast. By the time this thing will be done, we would have so much catching up to do that it might be almost impossible to catch back up.
Thank you. Okay. Margaret. And the final speaker I have is Austin Jansen.
I think everyone's getting a little tired. I'm really tired. It's been a long day. My name is Margaret James, and I'm the director of the Environmental Health Department for the county. And I'm the head of the committee for the for the Master Matrix review. So, and I've been doing this for about 10 years now, but seeing quite a few come and go. So a few points I would like to make. I definitely agree with Ted over here about how we need to have more local control. When a subdivision comes in, a small family business, home-operated business comes in, planning and zoning breaks them over the coals, basically, to make sure that they're the right fit for the right spot in our county. And we're not saying no animal confinement. We're just saying, let's take a closer look and make sure that this is the best fit, okay? Another point about the food quality. Yes, we have excellent food quality, but if we had the same standards for the water quality as a result of that operation, I think we would be in good shape right now. One thing that I always worry about with subdivisions and also animal confinement, there's a lot of commonalities to these things that go into our environment. Water withdrawal or animal confinement, they would come from a deeper aquifer, and then, yes, that water would be returned to the land through the manure spreading, but because of the tidal drain, that water does not recharge our aquifers. It's just going to shoot right down, okay? And then I went to the University of Wisconsin, and I understand how you can be really proud of your school. I studied soil science. And yes, manure is a wonderful soil additive with the microbiology and the organic matter. It's a great idea. Everyone agrees with that. The concentration, I think, is a little bit much. And then on top of it, too, with tile drainage, anything that is going to perk down is going to shoot right to our creek. So that's the problem for water quality. Impaired water bodies, I won't say anymore. Everybody has mentioned that tonight, and it's a big issue. Indian Creek is an impaired water body, and the headwaters are in Storey County, so we own that one. Skunk River, the north part that comes through our county, that comes, you know, that's an impaired water body, and that is coming from Hardin and Hamilton counties, which are just rife with animal confinement. So I think that the Master Matrix was a good first try. I mean, it's really ingenious the way they came up with it. Here's a list of things. Here's the regulations. Everybody has to meet these regulations. Master Matrix gives you a list of things that you have to go above and beyond in order to pass. The one problem I have with that, in our county anyway, there's so many low-hanging fruits that I went through that list, and there's 280 points. You can, it's like rolling off a lot. It's that easy to get those points. 280 is almost a given right off the bat. We can do better than that. ISU is a great school, and they've got a lot of research going on, but I see cookie cutter. For 10 years, I've been seeing cookie cutter CAFOs going in, and I don't see a whole lot of technology changes with those. I really don't. Okay, thank you. So my last point is, what is Iowa doing to put that welcome mat out? Why are we number one and North Carolina number two for number of hogs produced in our state? And everybody says, well, you know, it's the access to feed. Well, North Carolina doesn't strike me as an agricultural state with row crops and that. So what is Iowa doing compared to, say, Illinois, Indiana, Nebraska, that we have so many more confinements? Thank you.
Margaret, I'd just like to clarify, you are speaking as an individual, even though you're sharing some of your expertise, correct?
Correct.
Right.
It's hard to separate. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this job for a long
time. I know. I understand. I just thought everybody needs to understand that.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So, now we've got Austin. Come on up, Austin.
Austin Jansen, 201 Gray Avenue, Ames, Iowa. There's been a lot of claims up here tonight about the topic of asthma and how it correlates between or alongside CAPOs, and I just wanted to clear the air about that, no pun intended. So in front of me I have the results of three studies conducted looking at that correlation. The first one by the University of Missouri looked at ecological association between asthma prevalence and potential exposure to farming. And what they found was a decreased asthma rate when there are more farms near schools. The second one, paid for by the EPA, looked at kind of a similar situation, but they found that there is an increase in self-reports of asthma with schools near farms, but the number of professional diagnosis stays the same. The third one, conducted in 2005 by the National Institute of Environmental Health Science, in Keokuk, Iowa, right in our own state, in Keokuk County, says, and I quote, children born on farms have lower prevalence of ASP, which includes asthma, lower diagnosed allergies, and higher forced vital capacity. There have been a lot of claims tonight that say children living near CAPOs have increased asthma, and as read off right there, those would be incorrect, as shown by the studies. Thank you.
That takes care of all of the audience input. Thank you. So we're going to bring this back to the board now. Once again, this is about resolution 1964 and 1967. 64 proposed by Supervisor Merkin, 67 proposed by Supervisor Sanders. Would either of you like to give us a last 1 or 2 minutes? Summary based upon what you heard.
If I could, one of the points that I heard that most interested me in terms of the moratorium and supporting that was that we have been talking in the state for quite some time about the need to change the master matrix. And we talk about it, we request people look at it, and as we continue to do that, more and more CAFOs are built in our rural areas. And with the increasing number, how long is it going to take? How many more CAFOs will get built before we get, before we get this result? I think it's going to take a while, quite frankly, to change the master matrix. I think it took a while when it was first put together. I think it's going to take a while to change it. If we're going to have maybe a multi-year process and looking at that, how many more CAFOs will be built during that time? I think we need to now say we need to take that pause that so many people talk so eloquently about while we put together a master matrix that is going to continue to protect the people, the water, and the soil of the state of Iowa. Thank you.
Supervisor Sanders?
Yeah, we don't get to decide that. It's plain and simple. Either resolution is going to be the way we're viewed, the way counties and local municipalities are viewed in Des Moines, this is going to be comparable to spitting in the ocean for all the impact that it's going to have. I believe strongly that the master matrix needs to be reviewed. I believe that for multiple years. I think 16 years with the technology and the advances that we've made, we need to take a look at the master matrix. I don't know that I come down on the same side of the people that think we just automatically need to strengthen it. I think if we're going for highest and best practices, but I think it's completely reasonable that we would look at it. As far as anything with language about a moratorium in it, it is absolutely divisive and intentionally divisive. It's completely confusing, as we've learned here tonight. I mean, we've had multiple emails that don't know what we're talking about doing here. We've had multiple speakers tonight who don't understand what moratorium might mean or doesn't mean. And I can promise you it will absolutely be misrepresented if we pass it. Loris, you care about language. You care about how things are represented. There is zero doubt that this resolution, if we pass it, will be misrepresented. It's been misrepresented tonight.
Okay. So everyone's looking at me. I'm the vote. Okay. Between which one of these?
is passed tonight. And as I listened to people, one thing that I kept on thinking about was the assertion that a pause, what a moratorium is temporary, a pause would result in a loss of technology, a loss of progress in the farming industry. And I can't wrap my head around that one, because the moratorium, which would be a temporary stop on expansion or new, not who's out there farming already, and not the operations already. So that's one place that I got really stuck as far as a doomsday scenario when it comes to the farming industry. And no, Mark, I'm sorry, it's all my mic now, okay? I see a hand back there, but this is not a debate. Sorry about that. I'll be happy to talk to you afterwards, okay? But this, so I do value language. I value information, and I think that I probably learned some misinformation on both sides. That concerns me, but that's just that people need to talk to each other more about what farming is really like and what water quality is really like these days. So I think that that's people getting outside of their, as we say around the office sometimes, their echo chambers to find out, talk to their side, okay, and find out what's really happening. But what I do know from many years working with language, and just with all those life experiences that we have, is that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And there have been multiple cries and multiple approaches down in Des Moines to please open this matrix, take a look at what's happening. Take a look at some of the laws. I was shocked when we voted, or when the discussion occurred, and then a vote went to appeal one of one recent permit granted. I was shocked to find out how the rules were, in my opinion, so against the county. And so maybe that's part of the problem too, that until we really get honest, and that means asking the legislature to open it up and take a look at what are facts, their facts, everybody else's facts, on both sides, we're just going to all keep spinning our wheels. And for that reason, I am going to support the moratorium. I understand it will be divisive. I understand half of you will leave today and be angry, hurt about feeling that I'm not supporting your industry. I do support your industry. I also support advancing forward to have a conversation together. And I think that conversation, we could sit here all night, and we aren't in a position to lead it. It has to be led from the state. And so, therefore, I feel that we need to present the strongest voice possible. If nothing else, what we're showing here with that possibility of divisiveness is that this is a serious, serious issue. And whether it is ICCI, of which I am a member, or whether it is the Story County Farm Bureau, of which there are many members out here, we have got to start talking to each other and learning. And I do feel that calling for the moratorium is calling for just a request to slow down. And Supervisor Sanders is right. There will be people who misunderstand it. And the gentleman, if he's still here, who talked about headlines, is right. I would love to see an accurate headline and an accurate story run tomorrow. Okay? For all of us. With that.
Madam Chair,
yeah.
Are you ready for motion?
I am.
I would move the adoption of Resolution 19-64.
Okay. I suspect there's not a second. I understand that. I will second that. Any further discussion? Berkus?
Aye.
Sanders?
Nope.
Olson? Aye. We will move on then to the next item on the agenda, the last item on the agenda. This is Resolution 1965, and this is from Supervisor Sanders. It's a resolution affirming the Story County Board of Supervisors' continued commitment to supporting the rule of law.
Yeah, so this is not based solely on the happenings over the last 4 or 5 months, but it is largely influenced by the happenings of the last 4 or 5 months. It has been as frustrating as anything that I've been a part of in my 8 years on the Board of Supervisors, to be told repeatedly by people that I respect, or at least once respected, that the law doesn't really matter. We need to do what's right instead of follow the law. And that is absolutely the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard. It's against everything that our nation and state are founded upon. And so in frustration with hearing that repeatedly, not from one person, not from one group of people, but repeatedly, again and again and again, I drafted this resolution. It's Resolution 1965, a resolution reaffirming the Story County Board of Supervisors' continuing commitment to support the rule of law. Whereas Story County is located in and part of the United States of America and the state of Iowa, and whereas Story County is bound by the Constitution of both the United States and Iowa, and whereas Story County is subservient to all duly enacted laws of both the United States Congress and the Iowa State Legislature, and whereas all elected officials in Story County have sworn an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Iowa, as well as the duly enacted laws therein, and whereas any formal action by the Board of Supervisors that questions or appears to question or undermine those duly enacted laws may be viewed as carrying some force of government, and whereas private property rights and personal freedoms as guarded by law is a vital part of the fabric of our society, and whereas force of government should be reserved to only those matters covered by the law, and whereas when an elected official has a personal disagreement with a specific law, the remedy is to work to change the law instead of willfully disregarding the law, and whereas the use of force of government outside duly enacted laws can create the appearance of impropriety and cause liability to the county, now therefore be it resolved that the Story County Board of Supervisors hereby reaffirms its continuing commitment to the Constitution of both the United States and Iowa and the duly enacted laws therein, and I move the adoption of Resolution 1965.
Dying for a lack of a second, we now are ready to adjourn this meeting.
I'll move that we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Thank you once again for coming to this evening.
Everybody,